Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
It's at the time of the morning where we join our very own counselor, Ahmad Farak. And alhamdulillah, so much happening. And yes, I'm eager to hear what Ahmad is going to tell the Ummah and to millions and millions of listeners across the world. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wet day, cloudy day. And but alhamdulillah, you make people's day also. How are you doing this morning, Ahmad? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh once again.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafat, it's a little bit cloudy and raining, but it's not a devastating rain that what we were expecting. But alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, it's been controlled by Allah. Wind, rain, thunder, storm, everything controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shafat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with the ayat, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah we come and unto Allah shall we return. Ahmad, lots have been happening. And, you know, I'd like to start off on this note, you know, because, you know, you're so involved with the Kafan Dafan. Just yesterday I bumped into Hussein Mullah. And he said, hey, Shafaz, all the radio stations are coming to me and they're doing interviews and this. I said, hey, by the way, Hussein Mullah, Munro was with me. Ahmad Farak was with me. He's on there and he's on, you know, mashallah, you and I, you'll be flying here, there and everywhere for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are humbled about it. I said, Ahmad is keeping us up to speed. And every second I call him, even Ahmad is in tahajjud. He says, you know what? He say, tell Shafaz in 5 minutes and I finish my tahajjud, I'll talk to him. This is why, you know, I have a lot of confidence in you. You are someone that will walk the talk. You know, you're not someone that will just talk and talk and run away. And many counselors now have been shown up, They were, when the action was happening, they were nowhere to be found. When the action is over, some of them are coming and taking selfies and posting it all over. They're getting caught. Talk to me about that type of counselor who, you know, only talks the talk, but doesn't walk the talk. Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, you get two type of counselors. One, you get the counselor, he just wants one name and fame. And the other counselors, you get like me, even yesterday too, Shafat. It took us like half an hour, 45 minutes just to do one turn in by the masjid. You must be seen if you saw Hussein yesterday, that Hussein trailer that water was brought. I came down with it from Durban to Spingo Beach, and when I was with Al-Indar Foundation yesterday, when the truck just arrived from Joburg, and first thing I told Monana, Mater, Monana, this truck here, take what you need, the balance must go to Spingo Beach. Spingo Beach is desperate for water, and I will escort it, and which I did. I just left at 12 o'clock at Al-Indar, and it took us about 30 minutes to get to Spingo Beach, but we got caught out with, you know, getting the turn, you know, to move with a horse and trailer in our small road in Spingo Beach. It was a mission, but eventually we came to the conclusion, myself, Hussein, we parked the horse and trailer by the masjid, and we got buckets to take all the water to the school so that we'll be able to distribute among the community. And in fact, today there's another truck that is coming also, so I'm going to make easier plans for them, maybe put them into 8 or 10 ton trucks and send water to Spingo Beach, because our water problem in Spingo and all over, Shafat, I'm meeting with the mayor this morning at 11 o'clock. We are going on a tour to Amlazi and mainly the areas that is very, very badly affected and they need our assistance, which I'm going to go there. I'm going with one or two of the organization in Al-Indar is going to be also with me. NMJ is going to be, our Kim is going to be joining us as well to go and see and whatever we can do from our side to assist this community. Shafat, the community needs us. As you said, today you will be able to identify that counselor who our people voted them, where they are today. You can't even get him because when you're trying to get hold of them, the phones are off. You can't tell me they got flooded in the storm as well. You can't get hold of them. There's a few that are shining at the moment. The rest of them you can't find. We are looking for them. We can't even find them. So this is the problem that we are faced with. When you get into council, you must have one need only. You are going there not for self-gain or anything. You are going to serve the community. And alhamdulillah, you know, with the help of Allah, I haven't put my foot wrong there, and it will talk for itself. I have went and delivered to the community all over, crisscrossing all over. I did assessment. When the council sent me to go and assess Spingo Beach, I gave them a full report of Spingo Beach, how bad it is, and we're working on it. The problem at the moment, we are faced with the light and water in Spingo Beach and all over. Yes, we are going, at the moment, we are only fixing water in industrial areas. When that is done, then only the residential area will be taken care of. But alhamdulillah, I think by tomorrow, some of the residential areas will also be put on with the lights by tomorrow, inshallah, because we have brought in people, a technician from all over the country to assist just to get us up to speed, Shafat.
Hey, you just read that, I don't know, you got a telepathy with me. Because that's the message on the screen Boniface got there. It's from Ghulam Hussein. He says, please, my dear comrade Munro, I played with you in Beach Pirates. Okay, I don't know which beach. Hey, Beach Pirates, yeah, I know you told me, I think you played for Beach Pirates. He says, I want to know when will the lights and water come in Spingo Beach. I am suffering. Please, I'm an old man now. Well, Ahmed, you told him most probably tomorrow Spingo Beach should have the water and light.
Inshallah, we're working towards that. They are working 24/7. Today, I'll be in a much better position when I'm meeting with the mayor at 11 o'clock today. And then we are going to spell it out today. We're having a board meeting with NMJ boardroom just to thrash out a whole lot of things, how to put things in place to get it up to speed, Shafat.
Message from Khalid. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair, Marcus Sahaba, for bringing a top man like Ahmed Barak. He really, chef, as you say, he walks the talk. He wants to know, why are we footing the bill for the informal settlements? They are being fed and they're also stealing at night. They've been looting the crab city. Please, Ahmed, talk to the mayor and talk to the SAPS. Please get more security. It's such a sad thing. Not all are complicit, but most of them are. Please, Ahmed, address this issue. I think that's quite a salient point. What's your views, Ahmed?
Shafat, in his question, he also answered, he is not all. That is, you know, in every community, even in our Muslim community, you will get the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's the same thing that happens in all the other community. All are not bad. Some of them, because they are hungry, Shafat, you know, a hungry man is an angry man. So this is the problem at the moment. They are hungry. Some of them, we went through now, Shafat, for 3-4 days, they haven't had anything to put in their mouth. That's how bad it is. Now, end of the day, these things will happen. They find an opportunity to go and loot or go and steal. This is it. And people will say, you know what? These are the people that we are feeding. We Muslims are feeding all these jondolos. We are feeding in these informal settlements. But these are the same people are coming and stealing from us. But you don't know who's the good ones there. And some you get rotten apples in every box of apples. This is what the problem is, Shafat. You cannot do anything. You know, in every community, as I said, you get a little bit, one or two or some rotten apples in it. That is the problem we face with Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, looking, you got the people really ticking this morning. Brother says, yeah, Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair to Marcus Sahaba for putting a decoder in our Amlazi section here. I want to tell Ahmed Parak, oh, my dear brother Ahmed, come visit us in Amlazi too. We need man like you. He says, I was very stressed when I saw bodies, bones and skulls flooded and the cemetery was flooded and the bones were flowing. Ahmed, come and do something about this. No one cares. No one even have respect for the dead. Ahmed, it's a good point made by this brother. I mean, no one's talking about, you know, bodies coming out from the bones floating down the river and so forth. And you were telling me, you know, earlier this week that the morgues were overfull. Talk to me about this this phenomenon, Ahmed.
Shafat, you're 100% right. That brother is right. And he said nobody is visiting. Amlazi is also 100% right there because we cannot go into Amlazi because there's no roads to move to Amlazi. And today we have made provision with 4x4s to go there to Amlazi. And we are going to be there in Amlazi today with the mayor. And we're going to be assisting people what is needed. And then from there onwards, we'll be able to send whatever requirements they need in that area. For us, that is the first question. The second question is, as of last night at 7 p.m., we got 405 get in this devastated weather we had in the last couple of days. 405 is the actual roll call in the three mortuaries, which we have is Pinetown Mortuary, Phoenix Mortuary has got the bulk. We got 270 bodies there, still to be identified and post-mortem to be done. And then we got also in Phoenix Mortuary. So these are the problems that is the problem we have at the moment, because now all these people are also want their loved ones to be buried. That's one. Two, the other issue is we have taken a decision. I sit in that committee with community service. Community service is part of parks and garden and cemetery and crematoria. In that committee, we have taken a decision on Friday, all cemeteries under the auspices of the Tiguni municipality is closed. The reason is, if you go to in Amlagi Cemetery, you go to the other cemetery in Kloof, you go to the one in the other side of Hammersdale. That cemetery, all the bones are, in fact, some of them we have to pick up with SAPS vehicle, the bodies are actually floating as well. So therefore, the cemeteries are closed till this water subsides. And then all the remains of the bodies have to be reburied and everything. So therefore, a decision has been made. All funeral is banned at the moment. So for the non-Muslims, they won't be able to bury for the next week or so. So this is it. They'll have to keep it with the non-Muslim undertakers, because they're allowed to keep bodies in fridges and all, not like our Muslims. Like the one we had in Spingo Beach, where we had to get a helicopter to bring it through to Virginia Airport and go bury it in Dial Road. So this is the problem that we are faced with at the moment, but it will come right. Yes, there is bodies are floating, and there is these bodies, we had to get them picked up and is put away in the mortuary just to for now, so that we'll be able to go and rebury this body, Shafan.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you touched on a very important point about, there's a mayor in Spingo Beach, and, Allah fill the marhum's kabar with nur and grant him a jannatul firdaus. And, you had to coordinate, because it was a helicopter that came and, picked up the mayor from the Spingo Beach school grounds and taken it, and it went all the way to Virginia Airport. And then the hearse went to the Virginia Airport and took the body back to the Dayal Road. Give us a scenario, how you coordinate with the Hussein Mullah and all that, the logistic that goes behind it. Because, Ahmed, people need to see your brains too, how you work. I mean, you just don't thumb things. You have to plan it. You have to be like an architect. You have to be like a captain of a ship. Talk to me, Ahmed. Talk to the people.
Shafad, firstly, I phoned Spingo Beach. I told my nephew, Asif Parak, I said, do me a favor, go to the school, take the photograph of the soccer ground. I know, because we used to play there, on Saturday afternoons. Take the photograph there. I wanted to see how bad is the ground first, whether we'll be able to land the helicopter or not. So once that was determined, then the arrangement was made that the helicopter is got safe landing, because helicopter do not leave Virginia unless you get not a certificate, but a proper information that the place where they are going, it is safe landing. That's very, very important. So that was determined when I got the WhatsApp from my nephew, that he says, uncle, that place is clear, there's no waterlog, anything like that, and the helicopter will be able to land. So that is so it's fine. We send the helicopter. Helicopter was landed there. The body was moved, brought to Virginia, and Ibrahim Bandri took the mayor to Dayal Road. This is how it actually works, Shafa. I have said, previously I was fortunate enough that from Virginia, I also flew out about 100 nautical miles at sea. There was a Muslim sailor who was a head chef there in one of these container vessels, and he committed suicide in a ship, and the call came, and then I was called up with the South African Police Department, because they, we didn't want to go to the ship to all the way to 100 nautical miles and to find out that this guy was not a Muslim or anything. Because in terms of our the legislation, if he lands in our South African shores and if he's Muslim, we need to give priority. So the captain, we spoke to him and he said, no, it's 100%. So what the because I'm connected with South African Police Department, they said, no, I could accommodate them. So I went with them and we brought that body down from the ship to Virginia. And then I brought the, from Virginia, we took it to Gaines Street Mortuary. And then we did the post-mortem. And then we shipped that body back to Pakistan, Shafa.
You know, I remember doing things like that for the Muslim Seamen's Institute. We sent a body to Egypt and so forth and getting it. At that time, the embalming used to be done at, you know, Adlam and Doves, Doves and Adlam or something. That was the name. They used to do the whole procedure and then they had to put it in the casket and send it away. But looking, a lot of questions coming through for you. And it says, yeah, Ahmed Parak, Jazakallah Khair, and Shafaz Ahmed Khan. Lovely show indeed. Please, Ahmed, can you tell us what will be the electricity bill this month? Will it be halved or will they double it to cover up all the costs that they have to because of infrastructure being damaged? Very good question there, Ahmed. How do you respond to that?
Shafat, immediately after this Easter weekend, there's a special sitting at the council. There will be a disaster facility put in place that they will be able to tell us how the finance department is going to tell us what concession is going to be given to the community. One, you know, with after the 2021 devastation in July last year, we are still recovering from that, and this happened now in less than a year. So there is a huge problem that all the business people, and there's a lot of people that are going to be unemployed now. A lot of businesses are not going to be open for this year. They have maybe just some of them will just give up their businesses because they say enough is enough. They can't make it. They don't have. And some of these brothers and sisters are not even insured. So this is going to be a huge devastation that the city will make a decision. This coming week will be with a special sitting that we are going to get a solution that we will be able to give the community concession to even pay back whatever is owed to the city over a period of time, interest-free or something. We need to do something like that, and that's what our motion is going to be when we're going to be when we want to meet with the special sitting with the council, Shepherd.
Yeah, I know. Besides that, people have to pay, you know, generator, you have to pay for the fuel and then, you know, many other things that double extra costs. People must have spent three times the budget during this devastation month. So all that is taken into consideration. Is it, if they have to give a concession, will they give a blanket concession or to only certain individuals, Ahmed?
No, what we will do is we work by area, which is the area with like Spingo Beach, it will be on the list there. Amlazi is going to be the list there. Tonga is going to be on the list there. Vellum is going to hit very badly there. Tonga, Stanger, Chakastron, all these areas, we have already got a data based on everything because they're working day and night at the offices of Itiquini, just capturing and getting all the information. First thing after the flood, Shafat, we couldn't do anything. First, we had to get information. We had to put people on the ground to go out there and get the proper information. When the information came, they got a special task team. They sit and they now analyze that where the assistance is needed and what national government is going to do. Ramaphosa came, he had a look at exactly what transpired. I think he's already made arrangements for funding from Treasury to be given to KZN so that we can get the show on the road and get all our businesses and get our community back into their homes and all that. That is our priority at this moment. It's not going to be an easy fix. But it will take time, but it will be sorted out. But whether they're going to get the jobs back and all that, no, there's no guarantee for us. That is concerned because the businesses are very, very badly affected, Shafat, because they only they just recovered from one of the with the looting and from the July devastation, and then we got another one on our doorsteps now. So whether the insurance will be able to pay in time, I cannot say that, Shafa.
You know, I give you full marks. So you spoke about the insurrection in July. I think that cost the country, this is what the figure was, 50 billion rand. I'm not too sure about that. But what's your estimate about this flooding? I mean, this damage could have been, could it be more, Ahmed?
Shafat, this one here is not, you know, they say the looting and the July devastation is nothing compared to what happened now.
Hmm.
It was easier, the looting, it was easier to control. But this rain has caused so much of damage that there's nothing anybody could do anything. We, as the council, and when I was speaking to the mayor, we're looking at 30 billion at this stage here, Shafad.
Hmm. 30. That's quite a bit of money. Now, Ahmed, I'm also looking at a message here from Tahir. He says, Assalamu alaikum. You remember me, Shaf? I still live in that corner in Fifth Avenue. Yes, I remember you very well. Please tell Ahmed. Yeah, he has to talk to all these corrupt officials. He says, Durban floods are a massive wake-up call, a deadly combination of climate change, corruption, and ineptitude. I could have said it better. I couldn't have said it better, Tyus. What's your take on that, Ahmed? This is a very powerful point indeed.
Shabbat, I agree fully with that, our brother Tyus. But, you know, first, when the 27 looting took place, our intelligence were like fast asleep. Our police force couldn't do anything. That's number one. In this case here, the weather forecast did not even give us the hint that it was a cyclone. We only came to know after the what has transpired. Then we came to know at council level. I came to know when our journalists and everyone was posing questions to the mayor and the city manager, how this happened, why didn't we get from, we normally get our queue from our airport at Lamassi Airport, our main airport. We get our weather forecast from there, but nothing was said to us. If we only knew, Shafat, we could have did something about it as well. But nobody knew about it. Only then we came to know it was a huge cyclone that caught us unaware, and this is what happened to us, Shafat. So the long and the short, there's nothing anybody could do because it was already done, and that's, you know what, we just have to do the cleanup now. That's what we can say.
I tell you, I'm glad I got you on my side, yeah, Ahmed. Yeah, because this question from Dawood, he says, Assalamu alaikum, you guys are answering brilliantly. Ahmed, why is there no coastal protection? Why are there no scientists and the properly trained people observing the ocean, observing the lakes, and observing all the phenomena that takes place at a ocean? And definitely the sea is rising, the levels are rising, the rivers are being polluted, people are taking advantage and dumping. No one does anything, but when there's a disaster, then everyone says everything. How do you respond to Dawood, Ahmed?
Shabbat, Dawood is correct in what he's saying. In fact, in our radio station, we said last year, I think, and a couple of months ago, the sea is rising by at least 1.2 meters every single year. That is one of the things that I have picked up, and I've always been preaching on that. Secondly, in terms of infrastructure and, you know, the sea rescue and our team to assist, we were slow on the job. Shafat, Swingo Beach had to get their own people to get all the boats, rubber ducks and all to assist the people in Swingo Beach. You know, we were stretched all over. So end of the day, even our ambulance service, our fire department, our sea and rescue, and I work with very, very close with sea and rescue because of our deaths we get, because people get drowned in sea, people get drowned in rivers, pools, and all that, and these are the things. So I work with them very, very closely. And a very close friend of mine, I said, you know, bro, what happened here? He said, you know what, we were stretched. We are understaffed. We do not have enough vehicles. So there's nothing they could do there, Shabbat. It is not It is the system and the government that we have a problem with. The ANC government has not done anything in the last 15 years to keep the system going in terms of where you will find the bridge actually coming to two parts. The road has come into three, four parts. It's been completely broken into three, four parts. We saw so many containers floating from the old airport right up to the bridge of Swingo Beach. You know, I went and saw, and I've got pictures to that effect. Shafat, it is devastating. But we couldn't do anything because our ailing system is down. This electricity, we're talking about in the water. If they kept maintaining, the question is maintaining. If we maintain, even if your own car you maintain, you'll get extra mileage in that vehicle. But if you don't maintain that vehicle, in 3-4 years' time, you'll have to put another engine. So this is the same thing. It is an ailing system that they did not put money to make sure they... You know, a question that I raised in our meeting with council in 2017, Shafat, that there was a flood. At this old airport, that place was flooded right from Swingo right to Swingo Beach. All over the freeway, but there was no containers floating and all that time. That was a huge, maybe about 1.5 meter water was there. And I remember very, very clear. We said to them on the side of the road, they need to open a bigger channel. That channeling supposed to have went into the, you'll see by GUD, on the left-hand side, there's a river running across. That's supposed to be going through to the sea, as well as our river mouth. They haven't opened that mouth for I don't know how many years. If that mouth was open, the whole of that bottom section of Swingo Beach should never been affected like what it is now. How the houses, because the water could have gone back into the sea and we should have been okay with it. Because of that lake was not opened and not serviced over the years, this is the problem that we were faced with.
Good observation there from Ahmed Tarek. Hamza says... Assalamu alaikum, Shafa'at, and greetings and salams also to our beloved Mufti A.K. Hussein, and not forgetting your man, Ahmed Tarek. Hey, he's not my man, he's our man, Ahmed Tarek. And he says, Itikweni municipality, Ahmed, is amongst the top 5 municipalities in the country plagued by allegations of corruption, with an estimate of 166 cases reported. And Ahmed, we need to ensure that we have sound and decisive leaders at the fore. How can a man like you get to the fore? I know you have 4 members there, but can you get to the fore? Can you get to the leadership here? Because we need you there, Ahmed. We need you there. Hamza, a lot of confidence in you. How would you get... I know if you really get in charge, if you become mayor, I mean, it'll be a game changer, Ahmed.
Shafat, first and foremost, all the praise, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everybody is praising me. I'm doing this. You know, what little I can do, I'm doing my best here. So yes, that brother is 100% correct there. And what we have did from November when we got elected, we only had 1 Muslim counselor. Today we have 6 Muslim counselors. That is a big plus factor. Number 2 is the main tap of the Itikweni municipality, which we call MPAC. MPAC controls the money treasury of the city. So that has been closed. They can't move because anything they do, they have to. The only system they're beating up, Shafat, and they'll beat us now again, they'll bring everything on an urgent basis. Urgent basis, you've got Section 36, will give them the privilege to go and do it because it becomes urgent. Now, in this disaster, everything has come. So you don't have to bring it before the full council to get things approved. So that is a scapegoat. It came, to be honest, Maybe it came for the ANC government at the right time, because the thing is this, they got deficits. This is the only way they'll be able to cover up the deficits, and all, because they use a lot of money in for the 21 election. They spent 75 million just to buy votes and to make sure they hold on to the city. So this is a problem that we are faced with. But nevertheless, I have already put in place the right people. The DA, we have formed allies with all the other parties and all that. So we have put the right people. Fortunately, one of our members from Action SA sits on MPAC, and he's a CA Chartered Accountant, Alan Baisley, he's there. So, you know, we have got the right people. They can't just move anymore like previously how they used to just loot from there. And the main thing is all those ones that been charged and the pending cases, Shamila Botoy from the National Prosecuting Authority, she's got till the 30th of June. That's the government has taken a decision, and we have taken a decision. We want all these guys to be, they must face the music, and they come before the courts. And that is where we are at the moment. Shafat, it will take, the cleaning process has already taken place, because the whole world is seeing to South Africa. South Africa and Durban was the second best city in the world, other than, you know, in Holland. Holland was the other city that was first, and we were second. Today we want like 47th in the list of in the world. So we will get there. Things will take it will take time, but it will come right. Shafat, there is no city, no place in the world like South Africa, where you got freedom of religion, freedom of culture, you got everything. You can practice Islam here in South Africa better than the own Arab state, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, you make quite a bit of sense there. But, you know, talking about Cyril Ramaphosa, and I see a question on the screen. It's from anonymous brother. He says, Marf Abru Shaf and Councillor Ahmed Parrott, but I'd like to make an issue with Cyril Ramaphosa. He seems to come out of his closet when there is a disaster, but he never addresses the whites, the coloureds, and the Indians. He's going to informal settlements and appeasing them, whether it's an act of God. And as Ahmed said correctly, this disaster management fund that will come through, it will be looted once again. Sad, but true. Ahmed, how do you respond to this, brother?
Shafat, you know, what happens in ANC look for publicity. When this happened, Ramaphosa came with his ministers to assess what is happening. And he went to informal settlement and everything, because informal settlement is the main hunting ground for the election for the ANC government. So they go there and just please them. End of the day, what happens is when they promise, the promise is not fulfilled. That is the problem. How they get carried away, they get big hampers and all that just before election. And these guys like sheep, and they will go vote for them, and this is what happens. But the time has come. Even the old people have got no faith in the ANC, and they have seen in 2017, what the Muslim has done. 2021 on the looting, who stood by all these communities, and now 2022, they can see, and you'll see articles coming on a daily basis. Where are all the others? Only the Muslims are helping us. Where are the others? The churches are not doing anything. The ANC government is not doing anything. The DA, you can't even find them, Shafat. This is the problem we are faced with.
You know, Ahmed, the point you made is a very valid one. Because just the other day, I was talking to a brother, and he's reckon, hey, Shaf, where's the DA councillor for your ward and all this and that? And I said, hey, I'm not the councillor. But it's a very valid point you made. I mean, you have a councillor, you have a shadow councillor too. I mean, what's your take on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, you elect a councillor, a ward councillor, he must account to the community. We have got a system in place in Itigweni. They have to give reports when, how many meetings you had with the community. They give us documentation, and I'm part of the community service, so I know exactly what happens. So this report need to be sent on a monthly basis. where you went, how many civic meetings you had, who you met, nothing. They just write the report. But if you have to do a due diligence on the report, I guarantee you, you'll go to the people, they'll say, what are you talking about? We don't even know if there was a meeting, certain place and all that. This is what happens, Shabbat.
Really sad indeed. And yeah, looking at another message, it says, Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah for keeping us up to speed. And yes, the point made by Ahmad Tariq is our Muslims have come to the fore, and I must salute Gift of the Givers again. And what a beautiful thing. The Muslims have come out. And I know in the area that I live, all the non-Muslims stood in a line, and the Muslims with dignity gave them what they gave. And Allah bless them. The barakah flows in all conditions, because we put our head down to Allah. You know, it's really, it's amazing. I would say 99%, or maybe I'm exaggerating, 90% of the relief work was done by Muslim organizations, Ahmad.
Shafat, Gift of the Givers, Darul Ihsan, NMJ, Alindar did a brilliant piece of work too. They all put their hands together. They all work together. They got good infrastructure. You know, I was shocked when I went to the offices of Alindar yesterday, and I was working to distribute mattresses, water, and various other stuff from there to various places all over the city and all over. And they have got infrastructure, Shafat. In fact, with the Gift of the Givers, Alindar, even Darul Ihsan, and NMJ, at the NMJ Hall, they got it checkmate, Shafat, and they're doing a fantastic. You know, the ladies are there, the men folk, the ladies are helping them to load vehicles and all that. This is where we are good at, Shafat. And that's why Allah gives our Muslim community, because give them barakah in what they do, because they do it sincerely and they do it with a wholeheartedly, Shafat.
No, alhamdulillah, and you know, we embrace and celebrate all that do that, and as you know, Islamic broadcasters, you know, to every one of you that have done that, we, you know, we embrace you, and we make special du'as that the quality you have, may that quality be injected in the youth of today. You know, the youngsters, I mean, it was also good to see young, you know, Muslim boys, you know, getting on their buckies and, you know, going around giving out the waters, the daughters at home, you know, helping the mothers to do some baking, and the fathers taking it out to these different areas, food being cooked all the time. And alhamdulillah, you know, one such person that I recall in Swinger Beach, he doesn't like to be mentioned, is our Mufti A.K. Hussein's nephew, Yusuf Karim. You know, Josie, so well known. He was there. I noticed him the first day, you know, his boats were there. He had the food going. He went to the Zaf caterers, and he went to this one, that one, coordinating. And when it comes to Halim distribution, he's giving hundreds and hundreds of kilos of chickens every week just to feed. You know, not only Muslims get fed, Ahmad. It is the entire community, Hindus, Christians, agnostic, atheists, everyone gets fed during this barakah full month. Ahmad, your thoughts?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, when it comes to things like that, we come out with the numbers, and we come out with the pocket, we come out with the whatever is needed for the community. We don't see color, creed, race, religion, and we give out. And you know, yesterday it was amazing, you know, when I went to Swinger Beach and I escorted the horse and trailer, and you know, everyone, they just came out from mosque. You know, and there Monroe is back in Swinger. He said his body is in, one guy told me, your body is in Musgrave, your heart is in Swinger. Alhamdulillah, Shafat, you know. So you know, it was nice to see everybody back there. And our Monroe is back on the motion. Yeah, I said there's no problem. Anything else too, I'm coming. So, you know, we are there for the community. We're not there for name, fame, and all that. We want only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as my Allah is pleased with what I'm doing, I'm happy, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, we're lucky. I mean, we virtually grew up. Your brother, Abdul Qadir Baiki, was my classmate. And, you know, I mean, we beat the best team. Us Baiki. Yeah, Adam Arby's team, Azaza. We beat them all. Baiki and I made a deadly combination. But top brother indeed. He's so proud of you, Ahmad. He's so proud of you that he tells me, please, chef, send me the podcast. So I'll put it in the family group. So remember, Ahmad, very few people get their own family members embracing and celebrating you the way, you know, your brothers love you too. So I'm telling this on international radio because they really love you. And, you know, your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has turned the people's hearts towards you. Perhaps, Ahmed, your parting words this morning?
Shafat, we must make dua for the community. And this is one, you know, yesterday I was amazed in Masjid. We took a decision before Ramzan that we will have a youth day. We had first enrollment of 70 youths. When yesterday by the morning, we had 300 youths. Shafat, that was the best thing I've seen in my life so far, that in one place, 300 youths came to Musgrave Masjid from, they said, from after Taraweeh right up to Fajr this morning, and then they slept there. They we had lectures for them, we had a prayer for them, and Shafat, and this is what is needed. We need to bring our youth. We will be gone, Shafat. You will be gone, I will be gone. The legacy will remain, but we need drivers to drive this community. This is what
absolutely
we need.
Absolutely. You know, Ahmed, I give you full marks there, and then a man like you that walk the talk. You qualify for going and talking to the youth. And perhaps, you know, I mean, I'm looking at myself too. I said, how many people have I motivated into broadcasting, the comparative religion, going and doing the work the way we are privileged to? I mean, we work at the with Bhai Padia Rahimullah. We worked with Ahmed Didat. We worked with Morana Yunus Patel. I mean, these were people, our guys, Morana Abdul Razak, all Rahimullah, Morana Harun. These were people that were around us, you know, that were with us and, you know, watched us. As we went through the pitfalls, they told us, yeah, there's a pothole, be careful, this is how you maneuver around that. And perhaps, Ahmed, yeah, you are qualified in giving the talk. Maybe in a small way, I can also do that. But alhamdulillah, to get the youth, and next time, inshallah, after Ramadan, when you're having a program, I think we can walk the talk there. Your parting words, you gave us your parting words, and you said that. But you have a lovely day ahead. Go and do what you do best, Ahmed. Go and serve the community. Allah reward you here and also in the year after, and also safeguard your family members, inshallah. Ahmed.
Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah
khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, sir, people, a lot of things happening. Pray, P-R-A-Y. Pray deeply, but do not P-R-E-Y on others. Don't do that, Boniface. It's such a danger, praying, backbiting, causing dissension, and this and that. Don't do that. Just be positive. Resonate with positivity. Get the barakah flowing into our lives. Get the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that house with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned. And the Quran is read, noor ala noor. Let the light upon light flow, people. Let it flow into your homes, in our hearts, in our communities, nay, amongst the Ummah, a beautiful, radiant Nur ala Nur Ummah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.